Hello, and welcome to the From the Top interview series. I'm your host, Mike Martin, and I'm here today with Pat Palmer, who is the president and CEO of Personnel Data Systems. Pat, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Nice to be here. If you could, just give us a quick introduction and tell us about, a little bit about yourself and your company.
Sure. I work with PDS. We are a leading provider of human capital management systems that offer a core suite of products that handle HR, benefits, and payroll processing for our customers. And we focus in the US, Canada, and the Caribbean areas.
Great. So maybe you could tell us a little bit about how you got into being the CEO of PDS.
So it seems like I've been here a long time, and I guess it has been. I've just celebrated my 40th anniversary here at PDS. So,
oh, congratulations.
Almost a lifetime. So, but I started back in the day originally in the engineering side of the organization and worked on building product solutions for our customers that were looking for HR, benefits, and payroll solutions. And we looked to bring automation and organization to their processes. And over time, I moved into different areas. I moved into sales for a period of time. And then I moved into the services side of the organization where we delivered implementation and training services because I recognized it was a gap. We hadn't had an organization specifically delivering those solutions. So kind of got a good broad overview of all of the things we do at PDS and all the different elements. And I stepped into the president CEO role back in 2018 after my partner retired. But I've been in the senior management team for over 35 years, so quite some time. So I play an active role in all the different areas, product design, services, sales, and marketing. So pretty active player.
Well, it sounds like you have such a breadth of experience coming from the engineering side all the way to the services side now in a, you know, in being a leader for a while and now CEO. So it sounds like you probably know every aspect of the company.
Yes, it's been, obviously things have changed a lot in those years. Certainly from an engineering perspective, I can't say that I could contribute much from a development perspective today, other than feedback, which I definitely am very involved in, and also in the planning and prioritization of where we're headed. But certainly been very exciting, and it's been a breadth of experience that have helped me be successful in my role.
I bet. Yeah. I mean, knowing all sides like that can only be beneficial because you understand what it takes to do each of the things. I know when I was in my consulting roles over the years, I went from technical to leadership, and it really paid off. So any misconceptions come to mind about being the CEO of a software company that you know?
Yes, I can definitely think of a few. I guess it's one thing to be thinking like a boss, and it's another thing to be the boss. And it certainly isn't always fun. There's certainly some parts of the job that are tedious and some that are more stressful than others. And you know, running a business is certainly something that can keep you awake at night. So those were things that I don't think I anticipated. For some reason, I thought it was going to be smooth sailing throughout. And in fact, it's certainly filled with some challenges. But I've always been one to tackle a challenge. And I found that there are things that I need, processes and things that I had to put in place in order to deal with those types of stresses. And certainly, things like staffing, I mentioned, is one of those areas that has become harder and harder since the pandemic, I know, and something that you just need to focus on it and then take it apart and then figure out how to put it back together so that you can attack it in smaller pieces. I know one of the misconceptions is related to the time that you commit. I think I used to think, I'll have so much more freedom in my scheduling and my availability, when in fact, time is often not my own. It's often more controlled by my customers and others and that have needs. So certainly there are highs and lows during the year, but flexibility is key. And another thing I'd say that I didn't realize how much time I would spend talking and listening. Talking's important, but listening's much more important. And certainly that's something that, and even though, like you said, I have many years of experience, I'm always learning. And that comes from listening. And that's sometimes hard to do, to just, you know, zip it up and listen to others. You don't always know everything. So,
right. Right. Absolutely. I love that answer, especially that last part. It's so true. Something I work with my clients on, and I love this phrase that I think I picked it up from Brian Tracy, but it's like, nobody ever listened themselves out of a sale. Certainly people have talked themselves out of them. Right. But you know, when you listen, it's so vital. It's just so, so vital. And I think any good leader will know that they don't know everything. And right. So I love that you mentioned that, because it is about listening and constantly learning, and that sort of, how can we do better tomorrow than we did today, you know?
And sometimes you have to put steps, processes into place that help you do it better and do it in a more organized manner. Because sometimes if you let it, the squeakiest wheel will get the most attention. So you have to plan a way to allow people to have an equal voice and then be able to listen equally. So for example, I put together a process many, many years ago, where it's evolved over time, but we call it our brainstorming process, where our customers get together, brainstorm on product enhancement ideas, and they come to the table with an idea, and then they sell 9 of their peers on this feature. And then those 10 vote on the importance and the priority for that feature. This was an excellent solution that we put into place that not only gives them a voice and allows them and kind of forces them to justify things, but it also often we troubleshoot and find, oh, you have that feature today. Oh, you didn't know that. And so sometimes we solve the problem right there. But it gives them the means to grow and work together as a group, reach consensus. And then it gives us an awesome power that we have decisions that our users are making that are important to them. So we know what's driving them. So it's been a process that's really paid off over the years.
Yeah, I love that. And I've been involved with many enterprise level software companies, and they all sort of have this, you know, customer feedback mechanism. Many of them now are just online with voting systems. But I love the fact that you are making them sell the value to their peers. That takes it to a whole new level.
It does, because part of the process of selling makes you think it all through. Instead of just being high level and throwing a concept, they have to bring it down into more detail and be able to provide the reasoning for justifying it as a priority. So it's been an excellent process. And I think it's one of the things we hear that people love about our product, and we have a reputation for listening because of that. And because we then turn around those requests into new features in the product.
Yeah, that's great. That's absolutely great. So, and you mentioned there, you know, time not your own. It's definitely something I talk about a lot. I've experienced it. I work with my clients to address this, you know, where you feel like your time is not your own. Anything that you could share about how you deal with that? Do you have any rituals or habits that you do to kind of help you maintain your balance of your time?
Well, I could talk about all sorts of tools and technology that's available to help us through the quagmire that is our workday. Certainly, I take advantage of lots of tools and have come up with tricky little ways of identifying, prioritizing, and making sure that I'm focused on the things that should be top of mind. But I also recognize how important my time off is. And that's something that, as long as I've been working, I remember having conversations with folks about, people that squirrel away their vacation time aren't necessarily doing themselves a favor. Rest time is critical to being at the top of your game. So I try very hard to schedule time away from the office every couple of months, preferably on a beach. I love beaches. They make me happy. But one of the reasons is that that time off allows me to recharge. And and even though I may be doing a little bit of work, my mind's at rest and I come back fully charged. So that is something that I swear by, and I try to enforce that with my teams, that they recognize that value, because a day off here and there just isn't the same. It just isn't the same.
I love that. And it's something that I often talk about, and listeners of the show will have heard me say this before, but it bears repeating, and I think you're touching on it there. We all have the same 24 hours in every day. We cannot manage time. Time is moving and it's limited and it's specific. But what you can manage is how you use that time. And what I always say is you can manage your energy. And I think having the time off that you just talked about helps you to do a better job of managing your energy.
It absolutely does.
Love that. I know, software companies, we have the safe harbor and everything, but to the extent you feel comfortable, is there anything you would like to share with us about your plans for the future? Where your company's headed, what you're looking forward to?
Certainly. I mean, we always have projects ongoing, and certainly things that are underway across the company to implement more value in our solutions so that our customers recognize that value. Because of course they're challenged in looking, and they have probably pressures to look elsewhere in the marketplace. So it's something that we have to constantly engage with them and make sure that we're being responsive to their needs by, again, listening, gathering, prioritizing. So it's important that we're constantly adapting and leveraging technologies along the way. As you can imagine, there's so many things happening in our space, things like artificial intelligence that create pressure on teams to adapt and innovate. So those are examples of things that, we're actively pursuing various directions and think looking at how can we deliver solutions that will help automate, improve, and make customers more efficient with their use of the product. I mentioned that we've actually been in business now 50 years. We're celebrating our 50th anniversary next month, so pretty exciting. And
Congratulations.
thank you. And we've remained privately held this entire time, and with a limited number of shareholders. And to grow the business, it may be necessary that we rethink that. So that's something that we have to consider. We've been successful, and I'm kind of a control freak, so I'll admit
I'm
it.
guilty.
But that so it's nice to be privately held and be able to make decisions that, and be able to, and I look at many of my competitors who are big behemoths that have to be answering to their shareholders, and I think I've got it made. But on the flip side, they've got it made because they have market share because of larger funding
Yeah, capital.
availability. So certainly, so that's an area that we probably need to shift our thinking on.
Sure. No, that's very interesting. Thank you for sharing that. I mean, 50 years is a significant amount of time to be around as a software company. That is not trivial.
It is not trivial. It's, in fact, it's unheard of in our space. We're the last standing, I'd say.
Absolutely. And I can only imagine the evolution that your solutions and software have gone through over that time. It's mind-boggling.
It's fascinating story, but it's still the same basics you're delivering, and but thank goodness the tools have gotten better and better and better. And so the things that we used to the kind of the hoops that we used to jump through to automate something are so much easier today. It's a blessing, it really is.
And I know you mentioned AI there, something I'm keenly watching. And, even in my free time at night, I'm watching videos about AI and what's going on, the latest. I don't know if you agree. I feel that out of all of the major shifts and technological things we've seen from, client server to web to mobile. AI seems to be just moving at a pace that we've never seen in technology before.
Yeah, it kind of moving faster than we can accept it. It's almost probably intimidating to many in our space, because it's like you're stepping on my territory. It's something that's compliance oriented and, like danger. But you're right, the other type of technologies cause leaps, but this is far beyond.
Yeah, it's definitely an area to keep an eye on. And as we talk about adapting, we're all going to be adapting to it.
Yes.
So this is a question I always ask. If you had a magic wand and you could wave it over one area of your business and have any outcome you wanted, what would that be and why?
It would probably be what every CEO would want if they're selling a product or service. It would be that I would wave my wand and PDS would become a household name. And so the prospective businesses would recognize our name and respond to our emails and pick up the phone when we call and learn more about our solutions. Today we're small fish in a big sea, so we have to work extra hard to deliver an intuitive solution, plus make ourselves stand out from the pack by offering superior services. So it's definitely harder being the small player.
Sure, absolutely. But you have staying power, 50
That's
years,
for sure. That's proven.
right? Absolutely. That's fantastic. And as we're kind of coming on time here, any advice that you would offer for an aspiring entrepreneur or somebody who aspires to be a president and CEO someday?
I actually have lots of conversations with folks with plans in mind, and I give my advice occasionally. So, but one of the things that I say is to take an honest assessment of your strengths and weaknesses. That's one of the hardest things that we can do, but it's one of the most important. Identify what you're good at and where you can shore up your knowledge, clarify your mission and kind of your boundaries. You need to be realistic, but engage with experts to help fill those gaps and meet and collaborate with other business owners in the field to get a sense of, and pick their brains if you're able. Ingratiate yourself so that you can pick their brains. And most times people, often folks are very willing to give and share their story, but don't minimize that the importance of that collaboration that's critical to success.
Absolutely. I love that. I talk so much about relationships and how important it is, and really the two, right? The helpful relationships, who we can collaborate in our business or our working life, but then also honoring those significant relationships in your life, your loved ones and all that, that really sustain you, and to make sure you don't sacrifice for one or the other. And ideally, you want to have a tremendous overlap between the two. When you're working professionally with someone, that should be an important, significant relationship that you both are gaining from. So I just love that. Well, Pat, thank you so much for your time today. This has been a wonderful conversation. I just appreciate all your insights and everything you shared. So just thank you.
You're very, very welcome. It's been a pleasure.
So as we close out, I just want to say thanks to everyone for tuning in, and I look forward to seeing you in the next episode.